go ahead and call the Joint Committee on Land Use Fairness to order. I've got a few little house rules that we need to go over to make sure everyone's on the same page. This is a continuation of public hearing on Senate Bill 505, and I'll tap that one in. What we're going to do is we're going to continue from last week the list of people that were here who did not have an opportunity to speak. We do have a check-in. My understanding, the people we've got highlighted on a list that was left over are ones that are here. We'll go through that list. We'll get through those, and then once we get through those, we'll start with the new list of people who have signed up for tonight. The rule that we use in the legislature, if you've traveled over 100 miles, we give preference to getting those individuals up before those who have traveled less than 100 miles. So we've gone through the list for tonight and also done the highlighting for those. A couple other things that we need to make certain. If you have a cell phone or some other type of electronic device that you use for communication, please turn it off. That means not on silent, not on meeting, but off. And the reason for that is because some of the frequencies that are used actually interfere with the mic system that we have that capture this for the archives and for anyone that might be spanning in from the internet. The other thing I want to ask is that all of us are here to hear you, and hopefully you are here to listen to your neighbors from around Oregon. Last week we had people that were applauding when people were testifying. I'm going to ask you to refrain from doing that. It will make it much easier for everyone to be able to feel comfortable speaking on their own and not having people respond. If it does seem to get out of order, I will let you know that by taking the gavel and saying you're out of order. So hopefully we can get through as many people. The last thing I want to say is that what we've done in the past, and we're going to continue tonight, is that we're going to limit the testimony to 2 minutes. What we've decided is that we're going to give people notice when they're about 30 seconds from 2 minutes, so you can just start summarizing, because as you can see around the room here, and I assume we have at least one, if not two, other overflow rooms where people are sitting, we want to try to get as many people up and before us as quick as we can. If you have written testimony, please hand it in when you come up. You do not need to read your written testimony. All of us will take the time and read through that document, so if you want to summarize. Lastly, if you heard the same thing being said that you want to say, and you, when you come up, you can say, I agree with the people in front of me, and I support this or don't support that or whatever it may be, and that way we can get through and have more people testify. With that, thank you very much for your cooperation, and we're going to go ahead and start the public hearing. And I'll call up panels of three, and what we're going to do is have the three seated, and I'll tell you who the next three will be, because if they're in different rooms, we want to make certain they can get here and be ready to come up when it's their turn. So hopefully I will not butcher too many names tonight, but please bear with me if I do. Robert, first one is Robert Brook Stark, Paula Crothers, Laura Clemens. That will be the first panel. The second panel is going to be Robert Cleaves, William Donaldson, and Larry Duck. Those three will be the second panel. So the first panel, if you'll come forward, please. And what you need to do when you sit down and where you're ready to give your testimony, please identify yourself for the record by stating your name, and then go ahead and give us your testimony. You can go ahead and start.
My name is Laura Clemens, and I would like to read a letter to the committee that my mother has written. My husband and I purchased our property in 1964, 42 acres in Yamhill County, 2 miles from Newburgh. I've lived in Oregon since 1946. The property was purchased to finance our retirement and pass on to our children and grandchildren, none of which I've been able to do. My husband died in 71 before the state changed the zoning of our property to EFU. The property has many limitations for farming or forest land and is not suitable for vineyard. We filed a Measure 37 claim to allow us to divide into five-acre parcels, which was approved. We then filed for a subdivision, which was approved, and the plat was recorded in July of 06. Once the plat was recorded, I was able to borrow money on the property, something I was not able to do prior to the recording. That borrowed money paid for permits, surveys, drainage studies, land clearing, septic systems, wells, and all the other hoops the state and county has required us to jump through. I strongly object to Senate Bill 505, which would put all we have spent more than 2 years working towards on hold and could possibly change what we're allowed to do with the property altogether. It is entirely unfair for the legislature to take away the rights once again that an overwhelming overwhelming majority voted to restore in Measure 37. I resent the governor's arrogant statement suggesting that I did not understand what I was voting for on supporting Measure 37. I knew exactly what I was voting for. The legislature should leave our approved Measure 37 claim alone and our lots that have been platted and approved by Yamhill County. 505 would deny me the right to sell or build on these lots, which is the only way I have to repay the loans. Not only will I be blocked from moving forward, but also face the possibility of losing my property if I cannot repay the loans. The land use laws in Oregon are unfair, excuse me, and have been manipulated by special interest groups for far too long.
We need you to start.
Why doesn't
up?
The legislature put its time and energy into fixing the land use laws rather than trying to eliminate 37? I'm 81 years old, have owned this property for 45 years, and now face the possibility of losing it.
Ms. Clemens, thank you very much. And who wants to go next?
My name is Robert Brooker. In 1969, I bought a small acreage in suburban Clackamas County just outside of West Lynn city limits with the thought that it would be part of my retirement. Since then, the land is not good farmland. I planted it in Christmas trees, which gave my children a chance for job during their vacation time. The land was zoned 1-acre-sized building lots in 1969, and by the time I retired, the zoning had changed to 80 acres per building site. I do not own 80 acres.
Thank you.
When the good people of Oregon passed Measure 37 in good faith, I contacted an engineering firm to plan the use of the land for its best potential. Up to this point, I have spent well over $100,000 in surveying and engineering work. I wanted to be sure that it would fit into the surrounding area because under Senate Bill 100, I've watched too much poor use of land and poor placement of buildings, which showed no consideration for the neighbors. As I look at many of the neighboring properties around me, I see mostly 5, 10, 20-acre hobby farms and some with weedy pastures. I see people who were forced to buy larger pieces of land than they wanted because that is what the current land use planning dictated. Wouldn't it have been better to encourage more intense use of the land, meeting a demand for building lots and thus reducing the pressure to use up more land in the suburbs and rural areas? Several of my friends in the building business have said that many people do not want 5 acres for their house. It's too much to care for. It would appear from our news media that everyone that placed a Measure 37 claim is going to put one house on every acre of land that they're entitled to prior to 1972. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I know because I'm not going to do it. And because I do not want to destroy the livability of the area, because I intend to continue to live in the area myself. I know many others feel the same way. This seems to be a typical scare tactic for the public that landowners are going to destroy our livability. Most just want their land rights back. No thoughtful business person would want to build more houses than the demand for sale would indicate. The scare tactic reminds me of the same mode of operation that was used with the St. John's landfill. When the landfill closed down and they moved it to Central Oregon, we heard all about the catastrophe that was going to go along 84. The accidents, the carnage, the garbage. It didn't happen. Most people don't even know the trucks that go up 84. It didn't happen. And so it isn't going
to
happen.
Need you to wrap up, please.
30 seconds?
Not 30 seconds. You've actually had 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
Oh, okay.
You're on a roll. I didn't want to stop you right in the middle.
You're great. Let me just comment. I think this is important. When we have been accused of being greedy because we had our land rights taken away in Measure 35. At a recent CPO meeting, you know what that is, a newcomer was asked why he chose to attend the meeting. In his own words, he stated that, which I couldn't say better. He said, "I lived in Oswego, and I got tired of all the houses around me, and I bought 5 acres out here, and I want to make sure nobody builds around me." Think about it.
Thank you for your testimony. Cuthers?
Yeah. My name is Paula Cathers. I'm representing my mother, Joanne Bales. Her case is like many others I've heard while sitting through these testimonies of those who voted for an expected Measure 37 to restore property rights. My parents, grandparents, and my siblings were raised in this area, Newburgh, and most are still living here. My parents purchased our farm 35 years ago with the intent to keep it in the family and sell an acre or two if funds were needed. Unfortunately, with the blanket zoning of farmland, a short time later, all their expectations for their investment were ruined. My father was thrilled with finally realizing his dreams with the introduction of Measure 37. Unfortunately, he passed away a few days before he was able to vote for it. He left my mom with 23 acres as her only asset. Most of her land is on a steep hill, faces north, and is not prime agriculture land, unlike the prime farmland I see being swallowed up by large developments outside what used to be our city limits. My mom has been diagnosed with a condition which will require expensive caregiving not covered by Medicare. Measure 37 allows our family members to be able to move next to her, provide care, allowing her to remain in her own home, and the farm to remain in the family. Having the ability to sell a building site would allow us to finance more home care if needed without selling her home. My parents, although not great farmers, have worked in and supported our community. They are not out-of-state transplants or former urbanites seeking a good view. My mom has had up to 5 generations living on her farm at once. We are a close family, and we would like to care for our own. SB 505 would prevent us from caring for my mother in the best way possible. Also, if passed, there is no plan for reimbursement of the thousands of dollars she spent from a small savings on what she assumed was a sure thing. Most of the small so-called farms that I see represented here seeking prior rights are not contributing significantly to our agricultural economy now, as they're owned by elderly who've not been able to keep up with the maintenance and progressive changes in agriculture. However, these tracts make great places for families who want to raise kids, vegetables, and maybe some meat while working locally, supporting a healthy economy. Our family does not support SB 505.
Thank you very much. Our next panel, if they will come forward, are Robert Cleaves, William Donaldson, Larry Duck. The next panel is going to be Dennis and Walter Gilbler and Bob Horning. I'm glad you're sitting next door. Go ahead.
Dear committee.
PB.
My name is Larry Dyke. I farm in Washington County near the town of Banks. My farming operation is approximately 600 acres. I farm berries, sweet corn, and grass seed. I live and farm in Senator Johnson's, Representative Boone, and Representative Edwards District. I wish to thank the committee for addressing Senate Bill 505 in these hearings. My concern with Senate Bill 505 are that it does not address the entire issue or impacts of Measure 37. My concern is about the people who have not yet filed claims. There are thousands of people who are eligible, and they have not filed yet. What we've seen is just the tip of the iceberg. At some point in time, if Measure 37 is not fixed, more farmers will file. As they see the landscape change, as they see the ag zone change, more claims will come in. Second, all the people who will be moving into the ag zone or the country setting will have their expectations of what it's like to live in the country, quiet countryside. Yet they don't realize that we are a noisy, dirty, all hour of operation industrial zone. What we will then have is an area of continual conflict. Three, when putting urban homes in a rural base, there's also the cost factor borne by the community as a whole. Can the rural community afford the service of additional homes, traffic? Moving farm machinery on now commuter roads will be a greater challenge, and I would invite any one of you to come for a ride with me in my corn picker, moving it down the road, and address the safety issues, address the PR, and address the one-finger waves.
Mr. Dyke, you have about 15 seconds, please.
The agricultural base in Washington County is shrinking. I had a partner that moved to Wyoming because of this. The farm values in Washington County are four times more than they are in Wyoming. And the value of farmland with a Measure 37 claim or a Senate Bill 505 claim for a house will then price that land above what a farmer can pay. As a Republican, I hope both parties understand the need to fix Measure 37 so agriculture can continue to be a major contributor in the Oregon economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Go right ahead. If you identify yourself.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, good evening. My name is William Donaldson, and I am an owner of 75 acres in Clackamas County, which my father left for me in 1975. Right up front, I want to tell you that I'm opposed to measure the Senate Bill 505. I feel that another delay in granting rights to the to Measure 37 are an injustice, as over 60% of Oregon voters voted for that. I just want to respond to a few of the written statements about from our governor about SB 505. 37 has unleashed an unexpected rush to development. Of course it has. A similar measure had already been reversed a few years ago. Measure 37 has been frozen once already. Now it's being attempted again. And I believe they even said that the desire would be even more delays if it gets passed. We're just afraid it's going to happen all over again. Number two, we need a time out so developers cannot speed up projects while homeowners have to wait. I thought these claims were processed in order. How is that a problem? Number three, SB 505 is a critical first step to fairness. Although claims already processed and permitted or in litigation will continue. How is this fairness, especially to those in the waiting line? How is this fairness when these rights were taken from us years ago? Finally, the term greedy developers comes to mind. I believe that's the phrase that was used. My wife and I have three of our own kids, and we've adopted three others. We want nothing more to give them a piece of our property that they can build a house on and call their own, just as my father did for me. Does that sound like someone who's greedy? In my opinion, and I'm sure many others agree, this is an effort by DLCD to eliminate Measure 37. Please read between the lines. DLCD is scared. They're starting to lose a small amount of control, and they don't like it. They don't want Measure 37. They will try to eliminate it any way possible. This is their first step.
About 15
Please
seconds.
Please don't give it to them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We called Robert Cleaves. I don't know if Mr. Cleaves is here or not, but if you are, you need to come on up. And then the next panel is going to be, I believe it's Dennis and Walter Gabler. And is Mr. Cleaves coming up? If not, then let's go ahead and bring Bob Horning up.
Cleaves.
I got Cleaves, C-L-E-V-E-S, Robert James. Okay, we'll get you in the next set.
Go ahead. Hi, I'm Walt Gabler, and my property is in the Newburgh area. In fact, we're close in. Anyway, I've owned this for over 50 years. When I bought this, I had fully intentions that we would someday divide this. When I bought this, I put this place together. There was three different lots, or three different farms. They were in real bad condition. And I think we have it where I'm real proud of it today, but I believe it's worth a whole lot more to put it into houses than farming. I believe that with the young people we have in the service today, when they get home, they've had 4 years of this now, when they get home, they deserve a right to find a decent place to build a house and raise a family. That's almost impossible in apartments, that type of thing. Anyway, if I'm around a couple more months, I'll be 91 years old, so I don't have a whole lot of time for to get anything out of this. Anyway, thank you.
Ms. Gabler, thank you. And Dennis?
Yeah, my name is Dennis Gabler. I'm Walt's son. Firstly, I want to thank you on my own behalf and on Dad's for the opportunity to express our opinions. This old man that you just listened to, I can guarantee you, has worked as hard for this state as anyone in this room, and for probably a lot longer time. Dad farmed full-time until he was 76. To frustrate him from reaping the benefits of his hard work is profoundly unfair. I don't want to make this a big emotional plea. Rather, I'd like you to consider some points that I haven't really heard expressed before. You know that the vote has been taken three times relative to land use property rights by the owners, and it's passed overwhelmingly in this state. You've got to accept that Measure 5 or House Bill 505 is just an attempt to rally the opponents to that activity and to bring them out and defeat the will of the voters. The voters are not confused. The thing I'm really concerned about is to overturn the will of the voters is turning this society and this government in a bad direction. I've had an opportunity in my career to travel all over the world, and in the places like Poland and Kazakhstan and Russia that I visited and got to know the people who didn't have the rights of free will, didn't have the liberties and the freedoms that we have to prosper from their own activities, those are not societies that we want to emulate. Don't take us in that direction. And this is an important issue. It could be a turning point for the state, and Oregon has shown leadership within the United States for many, many years relative to these kinds of issues. It's on you guys, you folks, you people, to do the job for the population of this state, and I ask you to do that. The last point I want to make is amplifying something Dad said. My wife and I wanted to build a house. We were going to build one about 3 years ago. We went looking in the area all around the Yamhill County and Clackamas County. There were no large level lots that we could build a single-level home of a reasonable size and plot it in a good way. There were none. The only ones that we found were valued at over $250,000. I'm, for one, don't believe it's to the benefit of society to wad everybody up in a small footprint that we call a city and leave all the ground free. I work with young people who have three or four kids that would very greatly benefit from the ability to have a rural lifestyle. I thank you, and I want you to understand that Dad and I are very much against House Bill 505.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Horning.
Yes, my name is Bob Horning. First off, I want to say that I'd wish that pro-Measure 37 people had as much organization as the opposition is behind them back there outside. Senate Bill 505 is a terrible bill. In essence, nothing but a bill to boost Governor Kugelski's political capital while doing nothing to solve any issues. With Senate Bill 505, it would stop a process that many are already heavily invested in and would hurt many devastatingly. Before this bill came out, you were holding hearings on how to adjust Measure 37. I urge you to return to that task and forgo the tumultuous politics that Senate Bill 505 is creating. Ideally, I would ask you to gut Senate Bill 505, amending it top to bottom. During the Measure 37 hearings, four major concerns kept on coming up, and amendments should focus on them. One, the counties were asking for extension of the 180 days, not a suspension of Measure 37. Two, the most brought up item was the concern of dense housing and water shortages that they may create. This can be an easy fix in two ways. One is either to change Measure 37 to allow only lot sizes that one could expect to be able to draw water from in a sustainable fashion, or write into the health code's well water flow requirements, or both. Currently in Oregon, only anyone can drill a well without a permit or regard for water table. Under Measure 37 health code, under Measure 37, health code rules are exempt. You can easily write into laws health code that requires testing of water tables to ensure that with each new well, the water table will be sustainable. These fixes would address the majority of the issues people have with Measure 37, for it would limit development and eliminate dense housing in the vast majority of the cases.
About 15 seconds, Bob.
Okay. Address what interest therein means for people and address transferability. Because of the time constraints of this hearing, instead of talking about details of implementing solutions of these four issues, I instead wrote them out further in this letter. The main point I'm trying to make here is that there are solutions to these issues that can be implemented quickly and within the framework of Measure 37 law if people start to think outside the box. Measure 37 can be adjusted easily so that most people will be satisfied. Let's get the issue over and done with, for there are more important issues facing Oregonians, and this has taken way too much time and energy simply because the extremists on either side are so passionate about it. So this committee has a choice, either to play politics with devastating effects on people's lives or get back to work on real solutions.
Thank you. Mr. Cleaves, why don't you come on up? And then I believe it's Dick Joyce and Elizabeth Crow. Yeah. I tell you what, Elizabeth, why don't you wait, because I see that you got John with you as well. And Kevin Smith. if Kevin is here.
Is that this panel or the next one?
This one right now, please. Robert, why don't you go ahead and start?
Robert James Claus, 2221 Southwest Pacific Highway, Sherwood, Oregon. I'm absolutely opposed to 505. It is an absolutely negative step and an absolutely terrible asset management tool. Take the steps simply. If you look at Sherwood, they charge $1,750 in fees to file it. It's self-financing. The landowner must then identify the land use ordinance that he objects to, and after he finds it, he must then turn around and pay a certified appraiser, in my case, $15,000, to do a USPAVS to juror appraisal on what those damages are. Now, that appraisal absolutely, consistently must be with federal law and state law, because appraisals in the state are de juro, and it's important you understand that. Any appraiser makes a mistake and loses his license. Then the municipality must make a classification. They're using police powers, either it's welfare, it's safety, or it's health. If it is safety and health, automatically this ordinance is exempt. You don't have to pay for it. Then finally, they must make a decision based on the appraisal of the value they've impacted. They must pay or release. This process, in spite of what was said earlier, is simple, it is self-financing, and it is very educational. Let me give you an example. I've now spent $70,000, no less, to find out the ordinances that impacted our property. We couldn't sell it. We couldn't understand why. We went in. We're well on the way, by the way, to $100,000. When we went through with appraisers, no one disagreed. The cost of these ordinances was $5.5 million on a property worth $3 million. When asked why to do it, they did not have one single reason for backing up in front of their attorney. Their attorney said this is not development-driven, this is referring to your land use plan. Now, the point is this. You've got a very serious equitable question on your hands. Some of us have spent a lot of money. We've changed position and due reliance on the law. It's no longer a legal question. It's just a plain, let's be fair question.
Yeah, about 15 seconds.
Now, the problem is, if you're going to do this, one of the things you ought to do is start looking at this. The second thing you ought to do, and I want to make this clear, is not classify this way as givers and takers. My family donated and worked with Senator Hatfield on the Tualatin National Wildlife Refuge. We donated the Robin Hood Theater. We completed Stella Olson Park. We have contributed land numerously, well into $1 million now. But this has got nothing to do with livability. This has got to do with ordinances that are simply illogical, cannot be backed up, and are a takings case. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Who wants to go next?
I guess I can. My name is Kevin Smith, and I'm here representing the St. Paul Rodeo Association tonight. I understand that what we're doing here is in an effort to put a face and a location on some of these claims. My board of directors and I, as secretary, filed a Measure 37 claim this fall. For any of you who've visited us around the 4th of July out at St. Paul, the property that we filed our claim on is our parking lot area on the south side of that arena. We've been in business there as an Oregon nonprofit since the 40s, and we've been putting on rodeos since 1936. We purchased that parking lot property in 2 9-acre sections in the 50s and the 60s, and sometime after that, whichever year that it occurred in the 1970s, that all slipped into EFU, of course. What we would like to be able to do as needed, which is really not needed today, but as needed, we may need some more restroom facilities adjacent to our grandstand. We may need to improve a ticket office. We may need to do any of those sidebar issues that you need to go along with festivals. We are the major nonprofit in our area that enables all of the other nonprofits, such as the High School Booster Club that supports athletics in our public school district, the local church, and probably half a dozen others to make the extra funds that they need through the year. We were told that there were rules in our state related to due process, and I've been hearing about some things called goalpost rules that say that it's not right to change the rules in the middle of the stream, and I'll say that we did what we thought was right. We followed the rules. The timing is sort of coincidental today. The day before I came in here last Thursday and got on the list the first time was the day that the Marion County Commissioners had our claim on their consent docket and signed it. There had been no request for hearing. There had been no opposition. And now the day before I came back today was when I received the properly signed waiver from the three commissioners at Marion County, which said that we had done what we had been asked to do, and they were granting the waiver. Now I understand that Senate Bill 505 is about to take that away, and there's something about that that doesn't ring right for us out in Little St. Paul, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for being here. Is it Mr. Joyce?
Yes, sir. I'm Dick Joyce. I also live in the Sherwood area. Co-chair and members, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak again today. And also thank you for your responses to many of your responses to my written testimony. I am here to testify against Senate Bill 500. Please understand, my following use of the word "you" is generic. It does not refer to any member of this committee personally, but rather to the members of the legislature and various administrations since an implementation of Senate Bill 100 over 30 years ago. You, in the generic sense, certainly had opportunity to correct the inequities of that bill long before Measure 37 appeared. Instead, it was made more onerous by increasing the 20 acres to 80 acres and imposing the 80,000 income test, which most counties further raised. My grandfather bought the beginning of our farm in 1910. He, my father, and neighbors developed what became our county road. They strung the first phone lines. We've been good stewards of that land. For the last 30 years, I have been unable to build a home for my children, and now my grandchildren, even though we own over 100 acres and five tax lots. When this bill was imposed, I lost over $1.5 million in valuation because of the downgrading, because we were already in an area that was committed and developed, 5 acres to 1 acre lots. I sold half of my farm, almost half of my farm, a little over 90 acres to stay afloat. To move on, the state and some counties have complained that the backlog about a backlog. This is because of the complicated, unbelievable system that you have imposed to design the application for these applications. You have the state doing exactly the same thing that the county does over again, time and time again. Have to apply to both, and they have to agree.
Mr. Joyce, about 15 seconds.
Thank you. If they disagree, you have to reapply again, which kicks in 180 days again. I'd like to have you really take a look at this. I agree with the people that talked before me that said this is inequitable, and it feels like we're on a yo-yo.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. All right, the next panel is going to be Elizabeth and John, I believe it's Crew, and then also Janice Andre.
Co-chairs and committee members, my name is Elizabeth Crew. I oppose Senate Bill 505. In my opinion, it is just a stall tactic by our government to give them time to kill Measure 37. I've resided on property we own near Newburgh since 1965. It was always our dream to be able to give our children and grandchildren part of our property so that they might be near us. Like many people, we never paid attention to the changes in the land use laws until we wanted to do something with our property. Then we found out that we could no longer do as we had intended when we purchased the land. It was declared high value farmland, although half of the property is too rocky and too steep to farm. We are now getting too old to manage our property, but desperately don't want to sell it because it is our home. Measure 37 allowed us the opportunity to stay on our land and have our children near. We filed a claim for 10 lots the lot size first applied to the property, wisely choosing to keep the steeper portions as larger lots. We have now received preliminary subdivision approval and have installed roads, obtained septic evaluation, hydrology studies, engineering surveys, and much more. While relying on a valid law, we have spent nearly all of our retirement savings trying to meet the very complex and difficult regulations required to divide our property. We cannot afford to have our retirement savings suspended while this legislature tries to manipulate and distort the voice of the voters. Does the committee want to bankrupt a little old lady? We can't sleep at night for worry of what the government and the chairs are trying to do to us. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Look at me. We are not big developers. Measure 37 passed because land use laws in these states are flawed. The people realized that and wanted to return the rights of those people who have been taken advantage of. Neither the people nor the law discriminated between good and bad property rights. Only our elected officials tried to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. John, did you also have something that you wanted to say?
Yes.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm John Crew. I reside in Newburgh. Thanks for giving me the chance to speak today. If SB 505 is approved, Measure 37 will be tabled and most likely will never come off the table due to challenges in litigation. I urge this committee to try and fix Measure 37 and not table it. Over 1 million Oregon voters voted yes on Measure 37. 1 million. That's 61% voter turnout for Measure 37 and 39% against. Only a tiny percentage of these million voters had anything to gain from Measure 37. It is very evident that the voters wanted to return land rights, land use rights to property owners, rights that were taken away without the people having a voice or a vote in the decision making. As you have seen, there is hostile opposition to Measure 37. The opposition knows how politics works. Whoever screams, shouts, causes the most noise will be heard. The opposition comes in here spreading fear of doom and gloom if Measure 37 is allowed to go on. But really, how many additional opponents are represented here? 5,000? 10,000? Some opponents have come up here and said they voted for Measure 37, but now would vote against. How many more of them? 5,000 more? Let's be generous. Let's say 50,000 people have changed their mind and now oppose Measure 37. My question is this. What about the will of the other 950,000 voters who would still cast a yes vote for Measure 37? That is still over 56% approval. Let me remind you, these are the same voters that put you, our elected officials, into the offices you now hold. They were quiet when they mailed in their ballots and are silent today because most are unaware of these proceedings going on. The opposition does not want the general public to know that our state government is yet again considering going against the will of the voters. Remember the Oregon-assisted suicide, death with dignity law, which was repeatedly upheld by the voters. While you listen to the noise-making of the opponents, I urge you not to forget the will of the other approximately 950,000 voters who are quiet but who have a voice but choose not to be loud and obnoxious. Thank you.
Thank you. And Janice?
My name is Janice Andre, and I live in Estacada. I am against Senate Bill 505. It seems that it's somewhat of a misnomer that a committee with the word fairness in it is even considering this bill. I have several concerns, but since I have only 2 minutes, I will address only one aspect. That is the word vested. The gentleman that spoke last week from the Attorney General's office stated that the interest of being fair, they would let all people continue their claims if they were vested in their claims. He then went on to define vested as a claimant who had gotten a building permit for one dwelling before January 1st. However, he did not explain how that was fair, how vested was determined, or how that date was decided upon. It is my contention that most of us who have approved claims are indeed vested in that process and in their claims. My story is similar to most of the testimony that you have heard last week and tonight. My husband and I have over 2 years of time in meetings, hearings, applications, pre-application meetings, application meetings, and hearings. We were very patient. We have spent almost $50,000 in fees, permits, surveyors, engineers, attorneys, and etc. We have followed the law and every rule and are only weeks from pushing dirt. I call that vested. If you do not send this bill on, if you do send this bill on, I implore you to reconsider what vested actually means. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next panel is going to be Greg and Scott McKillop and Brett Vitek, maybe?
Beach.
So Greg and Scott McKillop and Brett Beach. Whoever wants to start, go for it.
Committee members, my name is Scott McKillop. I'm here on behalf of our family. We have an approved Measure 37 claim in St. Paul, North Marion County. We're really opposed to Senate Bill 505 for a number of reasons. Probably the main one being that it those of us that have gone through the process are basically getting set up to be punished. We've had our waiver for about a year. We're about right around $50,000 into planning and just getting ready to turn in a subdivision plat for our property. We request that you don't put a hold on this. You've heard other people in here before me. People have a lot of money invested in this. We can't afford to fund our project if we're allowed to go through the process. That's all we're asking. Allow us to continue with the process. Don't table or don't, you know, suspend the process that we've had put in front of us. We don't deserve that. We deserve the right to continue with our land the way we wanted 2 years ago. Anyway, that's long and short of it. My brother's here. He's going to speak on behalf of it too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Greg McKillop from St. Paul, and as my brother said, we farm about 500 acres between St. Paul and Newburgh, and we oppose this Bill 505. Our claim is on property that borders the city of St. Paul, and it's mostly hillside and water. The best use of the land is for homes. You know, I've sat here and heard both sides over the past few weeks, and both are very compelling. I agree with the right of the owners to develop, but actually I also agree with the farmers in the middle of nowhere that will be infringed upon. But this Bill 505, it really fails to help either side that I can see. I've seen articles in the Oregonian about people who voted for 37 but didn't understand it or couldn't foresee the outcome. To those people, I would say, you know, read the measure next time before you vote. And this leads to my main point. Everyone in this room should go read Measure 37. It was approved by the voters and later validated by the Oregon Supreme Court upon challenge. Bill 505 directly contradicts the vote of the people and the Supreme Court. Bill 505 simply muddies the water, creates a delay to the process, causing more arguments than solutions, and is a slap in the face to the voters that you represent. It's really pretty simple. Just look at the facts. It boils down to the integrity of the entire system that you're talking about. I'm asking you, use your integrity and vote no on 505.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Brett Veach, Newburgh area. I would contend that anybody in support of Senate Bill 505 should be ashamed of themselves. To let this thing get to this point where the voters have voted on it, the Supreme Court has ruled it a valid law, to the point where the 2005 legislature did not act on it, to get this number of people this far down the road, this heavily invested into it, is just a horrendous thing. I would ask that the authors of this bill retract it and replace it with something that makes sense. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Richard Hubble, Jim Todd, and Candy Tompkins. We'll call up
when you're ready to go ahead.
My name's Jim Todd, and I urge this committee and the legislature to pass SB 505 as quickly as possible. First, I think this would allow us a careful review of the backlog of Measure 37 claims so that errors can be avoided. And second, it allows the legislative session to make corrective actions in Measure 37 to reduce its harmful effects in Oregon. My wife and I own and live in a 48-year-old farmhouse on a small acreage in Marion County. Our land has been farmed for well over 50 years. We have no interest in developing it or in living next to a development. We hope that this land will be farmed for long after we're gone and preserved as open space. But the farmland surrounding us is primarily eligible for Measure 37 waivers and for subsequent development. We face being surrounded by houses and perhaps even being unable to lease our property for farming. Measure 37 destroys the regulations that we relied on when we purchased this property, and that certainly isn't fair to us. Measure 37 is also unfair to the third and fourth generation farmers who appeared at this committee meeting last Thursday. It threatens the land that they base that they need to survive. Your Oregon farmers make a vital contribution to our state's economy. They do not outsource Oregon jobs or move their corporate headquarters offshore. Oregon's farmers deserve your support, and Measure 37 should be modified to preserve our valuable farmland and protect the livelihood of Oregon farmers. Advocates for Measure 37 say that it's about the right to build a home on a piece of property that they've owned for many years. This is true, and I have sympathy for people caught in this land use battle. But nevertheless, Measure 37 is about a lot more than just a home in the country. It's about converting 20 acres of farmland in my neighborhood to suburban lots just because they'll sell for more than the property's worth. It's about claims that are a lot more egregious than that, and you just need to look at the numbers to see that.
15 seconds, sir.
37 is about money and about selling out, and it's about greed. I urge you to prevent this abuse. Please pass SB 505, modify Measure 37, and deal with these farm use problems and make it clear that Oregon is not just for sale to the highest bidder. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Tompkins?
My name is Candy Tompkins. I'm from Dayton. My husband and I were both raised on farms in the Grand Island area and have lived within a mile radius our entire lives. Our two sons are seventh generation Oregonians. We may well be the youngest Measure 37 claimants. In 1972, after my husband returned from Vietnam, we purchased 29 acres on Wallace Road north of the Wheatland Ferry. Our dream was to farm. We soon found out we could not make a living on 29 acres and kept our day jobs until we began growing field-grown cut flowers full-time in 1980. By hard work and determination, we were able to do that successfully and raise our two sons. However, that small of a place cannot sustain more than one family, and not wanting to work as hard as their parents, one of them is now a deputy sheriff and the other a computer technician.
We were not farmers in the true sense of the word, and our crop wasn't fashionable until the nursery industry made its presence in Oregon a few years later. We have never, ever received 1 cent of government aid or subsidies. It is becoming increasingly difficult to make a living on a small farm with rising fuel and labor costs. We find ourselves needing more help as this physically challenging work is taking its toll on our bodies. But the profit margin isn't large enough to warrant hiring more people, and I might add, people that are willing to work hard. Our Measure 37 claim would allow us to sell a portion of our acreage and be able to stay on the same place we've lived for the past 34 years. We only need a few acres to carry on our business, and another family can enjoy what we've enjoyed. I think it would be a win-win situation. Like most of the other Measure 37 claimants, we've asked for more than one additional dwelling as insurance, but wanted the added flexibility. That's why I feel the numbers you read about in the newspapers are skewed. To stay on our place without producing at our current level would not work financially. We feel that taking our Measure 37 claim away from us would be like sentencing us to another 20 years of hard labor.
We
don't have a PERS account and have chosen to invest in our property and business and our boys' education. Looking back, since I was a kid, the two-mile strip on our road between the Grand Island Junction and Maude Williams State Park has changed, mainly by the amount of cars I see. The number of homes has actually decreased as larger farm lots absorb smaller ones. Old houses came down and tax lots became bigger. Then those homes could not be replaced due to the newer zoning changes. When we purchased our property, we always thought we'd be able to build or subdivide. Then 6 months later came Senate Bill 100. About the same time, my father, Jamie Edgar, had property taken away from him by the state of Oregon with no compensation during the Greenway years.
When Measure 37
came along, we felt a great sense of justice that our property rights were going to be restored. Please do not put a moratorium on Measure 37, and I think you will find the claimants have a lot more sense than you're giving them credit for.
Thank you.
Dear Chairman, Co-Chairman, members of committee, my name is Richard Tybel. I'm from Newburgh. I plead with you now to approve SB 505 as written. In 1970, we bought 10-acre parcels of land on which we raised our family. Originally zoned rural residential, now 20-acre minimum. Our property isn't farm ground, it is rock. All we want to do is divide our 20 acres into five acre parcels so each our children can build a home on that parcel. If SB 505 is approved as written, it will prevent us from doing this and therefore should be amended. If our children and grandchildren are living closer, we can help each other out when needed without having to travel. We have spent several thousand dollars on permits, surveying, engineering, etc. We live on retirement income and cannot afford to lose that kind of money. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next panel is going to be Linnell Vandermolen, Mike Wagner, and George Milken.
Hi, I'm Lemuel Vandermolen, and I'm one of those people that's been referred to a lot this afternoon. I'm one of those people that voted for Measure 37, and I thought I did know what I was doing, but I've regretted voting for it ever since. I thought it would prevent government from its habit of placing arbitrary restrictions on farmers that prevented them from using their land as they always had. But what I did instead was grant landowners the right to create new properties from old in ways that could, in many instances, antagonize neighboring farms or undermine the value of property adjacent to many of these claims. This bill sold itself as a property rights bill, but the rights are only for claimants. It circumvents any neighborhood input and provides no reparations for devaluations or damages caused to neighbors by outrageous claims. Everything in real estate is about location. Those of us who have made later and more expensive investments in our land stand to lose from spotty zoning and incongruent economic activities abutting each other. My farm is an example, as you can see from my illustration. On the one side, there's a tiny Measure 37 claim, which is almost a no-brainer. It was just for a retirement house on a lot that some farmers bought adjacent to their property, and no one really even cares about that. But on the other side, we have a gigantic subdivision that threatens my property directly, and everyone in our neighborhood is outraged about this one. It just shows you the range of claims that are out there. This large subdivision that I'm sandwiched between the large one and the small one, it threatens me in terms of my farm's workability and its attractiveness for resale as a working farm, and my liability in case of trespass. Now, while Senate Bill 505 doesn't offer long-term answers to the problems inherent in Measure 37, I think it at least gives citizens more time for a legislative fix for the unintended consequences of Measure 37. And I would urge you to adopt it, even though it's not perfect.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Mike Wagner. I support SB 505. I support the legislature's legal ability to amend, revise, or even repeal Measure 37. It's a statute no different than any other law that the legislature has enacted. I support the fairness of the express lane, as this was the primary argument in favor of Measure 37. Half of my neighbors would not vote for Measure 37. Again, today 61% of Oregonians want you either to vote to repeal Measure 37. I support asset liquidation, reverse mortgages, living estates, and conservancies for seniors. I support the right of property owners to risk capital for development opportunities, even if the risk is not appropriate in relation to an unseasoned Oregon statute. I support the greatest good of the greatest number versus the complete freedom of action by individuals. I support and respect the legislature's ability to provide leadership for the future of all Oregonians, not just some who want money now. I support organized water, wastewater, transportation, infrastructure systems with reduced levels of fuel use and improved air quality. I support the 35 years of planning that the state of Oregon has dedicated itself to. The Measure 37 shotgun is the ultimate in leapfrog development. The owner should not be the zoner. I support the preservation of agricultural land and renewable forests as important to the economy of the state of Oregon. I support the future of Oregon, not the past. Mr. Chairman, in 1877, 130 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled, when one devotes his property to a use in which the public has an interest, he in effect grants to the public an interest in that use and must submit to be controlled by the public for the common good to the extent of the interest he has thus created. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is George Milliken. I am a native Oregonian. I do not have a Measure 5 claim. However, I have been a real estate agent in Clackamas County for 22 years and have had considerable dealings with rural property over these years. I have witnessed firsthand the financial reverses that experienced by many of these property owners due to their property rights being negated by an overly restrictive zoning regulation. The voters of Oregon, through the referendum process, have voted not once, but twice, to either return to these property owners the same rights they had at the time they acquired the property, or pay them for their loss. Apparently, the backers of SB 505, who are elected representatives of the people, do not believe that they have an obligation to enforce the law passed by the people. They do not want to return their property rights, nor do they want to pay them. Disregarding the moral implication of this issue and disdainfully ignoring the will of the people who elected them, these legislators want to steal these legally established property rights. SB 505 is nothing more than legalizing larceny. The governor and the legislators backing this bill should be ashamed of themselves.
Thank you. Tom Franzell, I'm going to ask if anyone else is here that was here last week that signed up. We have a list. We've checked off everyone that checked in earlier this evening, but if someone else has come in that was here on Thursday, you can come forward, let us know your name. If you're on the list, you get to testify now. And we're going to go ahead and start with tonight's list. Again, we'll be working off the list for those who traveled over 100 miles, so the other two people
For this panel will be Mike McCarthy, and it looks like Suzanne Van Orman. Go ahead and get started.
I'm Tom Frangel. I live in Salem. Chairman and members of the committee, I have written a statement which I submitted, and I have a short version of it. I'll try to do it in 2 minutes. The fast-track proposal, in my opinion, is merely the first step in a disingenuous divide-and-conquer strategy which has been carefully planned by the opponents of Measure 37 from the 2006 election. They should not be allowed to run roughshod over this process. Health, safety, the unavailability of services, and the lack of funds or of any firm legal requirement that local jurisdictions must supply these services when public disapproval is widespread will mitigate most of the exaggerated costs of consequences of Measure 37. To fairly compensate persons negatively impacted by Measure 37, and not the actual claimants themselves, the legislature should pass a new and different bill, sincerely apologizing for this state-caused mess, taking full responsibility, and should stop playing let you and him fight. The state of Oregon should pay these secondary claims for its failure to pass the originally promised compensation measure, Senate Bill 100. Without the ultimately empty promises of a completed Senate Bill 100, our land use system would have never gathered enough votes to become law in the early 70s. The remainder of the 37 process should continue as before. The average cost per Oregonian for settling the relatively few fair claims of diminished current market value by neighbors and doing this outside of the court system would be affordable and relatively straightforward. We should count ourselves lucky. The vast majority of those who might have been Measure 37 claimants already have given up and sold out or died off. These citizens have, in essence, donated their property rights to the state, just as the Native Indians of Oregon donated much of their land to the white man. Governmental failures and mistakes are not new to Oregon. In fact, this case is sadly similar to the failure of PERS oversight. Oregon's land use system is not just visionary, it is predatory. Those who would manage open space and conserve and promote conservation purely through creating new regulations, coldly confiscating private wealth from honest, ordinary citizens who depended upon the existing rules when they invested, truly are not the friends of Oregon. They are troublemakers, for they have created polarization and animosity throughout our state. Permitting these sore losers, these very same people who lost two open democratic elections, now to gut Measure 37 through yet another arrogant, autocratic campaign of lies and hysteria, would pile one more sorry mistake on top of all the others. It is high time that Oregon got its ethical house in order. Even with some minor changes in the interest of justice, it will still be a wonderful place to live. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Franzo.
Yeah, I'm Mike McCarthy. I support Senate Bill 505. I'm a farmer from Parkdale, Oregon, which is in the Upper Hood River Valley. And with my wife and I, we raise apples, pears, cherries, cattle, hay, and also manage some timberland that's been in the family since 1910. Our family could have had several Measure 37 claims, but really when we sat and thought about it, we didn't think we'd lost anything. We didn't think we'd had any rights taken away. If you look at the long term, we really believe that to our family and to future generations in our family, we would produce more income and more profit for the family and for the community by continuing to farm. And I think that's something that people don't take into account. I think in some cases, if you actually did the math, these Measure 37 claims are not valid, and the best use in the long term would be if they stayed in farming. So we don't feel that our property rights have been taken away by land use planning, but we do feel that our property rights will be taken away by Measure 37. We have Measure 37 claims all around us, and they're going to have a very negative effect on our ability to farm. The other thing I wanted to say is I understand that some of my pear farmer friends have been down here testifying that the pear industry is a dead industry in Hood River. That's a memo, I guess, that I haven't received. My pear prices, I was here 2 years ago to discuss Measure 37, and at that time I was happy to report that my Bartlett pear prices were the highest they'd ever been. This was last year. Well, this year they're higher than they were last year. So, and also my annual pear, my winter pear prices are higher than they've ever been. This is a record year. Also, because of some of the things that have happened with fruits and so forth, freezing in California, this is also the highest prices I've ever gotten for my Johnny Gold apples. So personally, for my family, we're buying more farmland. We're increasing our farming operation because we believe it's a very profitable thing to be in. And we're going to continue to do that over the next few generations, we hope. So I'm a strong supporter of Senate Bill 505. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Suzanne Van Orman. I am currently residing in Hood River, Oregon, and I am a former resident and city commissioner for the city of Oregon City. And I wish to comment on the specious argument of fairness. In the early 80s, DEQ shut the Oregon City down for dumping raw sewage into the Willamette River during rainstorms. The city was ordered to fix its storm drainage problem in order to permit more development of the city. The act caused the stagnation of Oregon City, and the increase in property taxes climbed to the highest in the state. I ran the bond measure campaign to fix the problem, and residents of Oregon City passed the measure. Today, the city of Portland still dumps raw sewage into the Willamette. Fair? In the 90s, Park Place was declared a health hazard for septic failure, and residents voted to annex to Oregon City. We were all faced with a huge expense that impacted the residents especially, but the problem had to be fixed. The cost to residents was high. Fair? Hood River County faces the same septic failure in an area outside the city. The citizens turned down the vote to pay for the fix, and the area was declared a health hazard, thereby allowing the remedy to move forward. Fair? Naturally, I wonder about the problems of development and sewage and who will ultimately pay for these services. When I directed a nonprofit agency, the change in the size of the agency and the laws for retirement caused us to move out of a simplified employee pension plan to a 401k. We whined and sniveled as we watched our accounts lose money for months. Fair? Years ago, when my job was being eliminated for the second time at Clackamas County Juvenile Court, I was told by the director, Suzanne, no one ever said life was fair. That is my point. As a former elected official, I believe elected officials must keep in mind the common good, and in doing so, are not always able to be fair to everyone. I believe Measure 37 creates more unfairness than it removes and creates multiple problems if all development is allowed. I see your duty as one, as a former elected official, as thinking of the welfare of the state and the common good and not just personal interests.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just point out, I just want to make sure people understand, no questions from these panels. Last week when we ended testimony, apparently announced no new testimony will be taken this week, we just catch up. So,
well, we've caught up.
I'm not saying that we should shut down. I just want to make sure people understand there may be people who would have been here tonight who chose not to come because of that announcement. So next week, I guess, or Thursday, if we're going to continue that route, make sure people know that they will be taking new testimony as we go forward, not just catching up.
And Senator Beyer, I'm going to take a little bit of issue just because it does say witnesses signing up tonight, meaning tonight, may not be called to testify.
I understand.
As compared to they won't be. We're trying to get everyone in.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, just for the future meeting, just make sure people know that there may be an opportunity to testify if they do come.
Well, I'm not sure if you give us some better language than may not or possibly will be able to. I'll be glad to take that into consideration for future notices. We've got three out right now. So we'll go into the next individuals, which are, we're going to pick up one that came in late, and that is Matthew Green Height. And then we're carrying on with Carol Davis and Kate McCarthy.
Yes, my name is Matt Greenheight. I realize a lot of these Measure 37s were filed at the last minute, and I understand why that would make a justification to extend them. And by all means, if you need 30 days or 60 days or even 90 days to process those Measure 37 claims, I totally understand it and I totally sympathize. However, this bill, Senate Bill 505, goes way past that. It puts a moratorium on people who've already filed. It puts a moratorium on people who are in the process of getting a subdivision. It puts a moratorium on the people that are ready to build but don't have a permit yet. That's inexcusable. And almost to the man, not to the man, but almost to the man, the people that supported Senate Bill 505 consistently said that this is a good start. meaning that this is a good place. This is a good place to begin the fight against Measure 37. If you want to fix Measure 37, that's fine, but that should not be the scope of Senate Bill 505. I'm for an extension to process Measure 37 claims, but Senate Bill 505 is not the way to do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Carol Davis from Hood River, Oregon. I support Senate Bill 505. I'm a transplanted Californian. I left California many years ago because of lack of planning and management that caused the disappearance of farm and forest land in the area in which I lived. I lived in Oregon now for 47 years. I've lived in Hood River County for 41 years. I live in a 110-year-old ranch house that was an excess house in the property of Orchard Development and Expansion. I live in some of the best orchard land in Hood River County. Land that was assessed at $10,000 per acre. I'm totally surrounded by land that's now, they're now requesting compensation for $350,000 an acre. $350,000 an acre. I served in the original planning commission, original group that developed a comprehensive plan for Hood River County, the revision plan, and served in the planning commission. Now, I consider Tom McCall one of our Oregon's great. He and his forethinking ideas made me proud to be an Oregonian. His bottle bill, the beaches bill, the Senate Bill 100, which created comprehensive land use planning, assured my belief that Oregon led the way, that we could be proud of ourselves as a people who loved our state and our environment and truly wanted to protect it. As I've traveled extensively across the United States, everywhere I encountered unplanned development. Everywhere near population centers, productive farmland, good forest land has fallen into inappropriate development. Strip mall development replaced the countryside. Ugliness replaced beauty for private profit of the few while doing damage to the many. People would complain to me about their loss around the country, and I would respond, "We don't have that problem in Oregon. Our provident leaders gave us comprehensive land use planning." And then proposition passed. I'm embarrassed for us. I'm ashamed that we should choose to be just like those other undisciplined states.
Mr. Davis, need to wrap up, please.
All right. Granted, Oregon land use planning law was strong and uncompromising. These problems could be solved by fine-tuning the law, not destroying it. My hope is that this legislature will do this fine-tuning while returning to the basic spirit of careful land use planning. SB 501 should give us this time to rethink.
Thank you.
I'm Kate McCarthy from Hood River County, and I'm afraid. I'm scared. Look at this. I'll give it to you. I'd like it to be passed around.
She'll get it to us. Ms. McCarthy, just to let you know, we've received that map of Hood River County as well as some other county maps. But thank you for
taking a look at this now. I'm afraid that Oregon is up for sale. I have received this many brochures from Southern California wanting to give me quick cash for my land. All these. And when you look at that map of the claims, it's very disturbing. Measure 37 was passed on the idea of being fair. Measure 37, I don't believe, is fair. I support Senate Bill 505 to help us protect our prime agricultural land. As one farmer said, why do we have to build subdivisions on the richest soil in the state of Oregon? And the bottom line is, as Lester Brown said, Lester Brown is considered by many to be the most important voice in our time. No economy, however technologically advanced, can survive the collapse of its environmental support systems. Our resource lands are important. We've got to have a way to protect them. So please work on Senate Bill 505 and find a way to protect them. Incidentally, my father bought our land in Hood River County in 1909. So I go back a ways. I think that covers it.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're going to pick up Mark Forrester, who was on last week's list, who's now here. And we're going to continue with Rick Holcomb and Shelley Weatherell. Mark, why don't you go ahead and get started?
Thank you. Co-chair and members, appreciate this opportunity. Most of what I want to address has been addressed by previous testimony. There's just a couple points. I am opposed to Senate Bill 505. I understand that Measure 37 needs some fixing, but I don't think Measure 505 is the way to do it. I think one of the things that I've not heard addressed is that delaying the litigation would also delay the decision making and dealing with some of the inconsistencies in Measure 37 and things that need to be addressed. And I think that would be detrimental to the state as a whole. Also, I have children and I'd love to have them build on my property, which I'm being prevented from. And I don't quite understand how farmers are damaged by Measure 37, other than they have to pay more for land, which they don't own now, which kind of boils down to government controlling the price of land for the farmer's benefit. I grew up on a farm, and I worked on a farm as a child and as a young man, and I understand farming, and Oregon law accommodates the use of residential close to farms with its zoning and the fact that people who live in the farm area are not able to coerce the farmer to stop his operation. I urge you to not use 505 or dramatically alter it to address the inconsistencies in it. Thank you much.
Thank you. Richard?
Okay. Co-chairmen and members of the committee, I'm Richard Holcomb. I farm in Douglas County with my brother. I'm in partnership with him along the farm along the main Umpqua River there. We're third-generation farmers. We lease about 2,000 acres. We own about 800. We raise cattle, sheep, prunes, hay, and some timber. I want to comment on the property that we own. None of it was inherited property. This is property that my brother and I have purchased over the years. Two of the parcels were parcels that we leased for several years, and they were owned by neighbors of us, actually, that had both of them had owned the property since 1910, approximately. And when they each decided they wanted to sell, we had appraisals done and purchased the property. One was in 1996, one was in 2002. Now, if Measure 37 had been in effect at that time, we would not have been able to afford those properties because of the way Measure 37 would have affected the value of those properties. And we were fortunate to get those properties bought before Measure 37. So I know of another example of a rancher in Douglas County who was not as fortunate. He had been leasing property like we did from a landowner who was older and wanted to retire, and had worked out a deal to buy the property, and then Measure 37 came along, and the owner of the property said, well, I filed a Measure 37 claim, and you're not going to be able to afford this property now. So I think that Measure 37 has a real impact on areas like ours where a lot of the properties are Century Farms. We actually border a Century Farm right now, and many of the other properties in the Elkton area are old-time properties. So that's the comment's been made that we want cheap land. Well, we really don't need cheap land. We need land that's affordable, that we can pay for producing the commodities, and really, if people want cheap food, we have to have inputs that, and land is a big input for producing that type of food.
Richard, I need you to wrap up, please.
Okay. You and the committee have a real responsibility here, and actually a privilege of shaping the future of agriculture in Oregon. And I believe passage of Senate Bill 505 is the first step in that process. And so I'd like to ask that you please make the right decision and take steps to assure a healthy and viable future for agriculture in Oregon.
Thank you.
My name is Shelley Weatherall, and I, too, live in Douglas County. I live in Umpqua, Oregon. Chairman Prozanski, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak. First of all, I agree with those who have spoken in favor of the bill. I've thought long and hard about what I wanted to say to all of you, and this comes from my heart. I'd like to relate a personal story. Some years ago, both my parents died within a short time frame of each other. They left an estate that included, among other things, their small farm that they had owned for over 50 years and a small piece of timberland. They had worked this land. They'd managed to hang on to it through thick and thin. They'd poured their hearts into it, always keeping in mind how to maintain it in its best form to pass on. After all, isn't that what life's about? Selfishly having children and then working unselfishly to give them all you can. I was their choice for executor of the estate. It was one of the hardest problems I have ever had to resolve. I knew I was their choice because I shared their love of the land and the responsibility that went along with owning it. I was their choice because they knew I would be fair to the others involved. As the process of settling the estate evolved, it became clear that not all those involved shared my passion of the land. Some were only interested in hard, cold cash. They favored liquidating everything and getting a check. I was advised that as executor, I could pretty much settle the whole thing however I wanted. I could take the best for myself and give the others whatever was left. Of course, I remembered that I had a moral responsibility, and I was chosen because I would be fair. Things progressed, and eventually everything was divided up. I managed to keep the small farm and forest land intact. The end was acceptable to all, but probably not exactly what any one person wanted. Time passed when a neighbor asked me how it was going. I explained the estate had finally been settled, and that everyone, including myself, probably felt like they'd been had. My neighbor commented, "Well, then you must have done something right."
Shelley, I need you to wrap up, please.
All right. Corny as it may sound, you are in a similar position. You've been entrusted to carry out the wishes of Oregonians. You have a passion for Oregon, or you would not be here. You have a responsibility to preserve this land in the best possible condition for future generations. You have a moral responsibility to do what is fair. You can choose the road that values the hard, cold cash, led by the proponents of Measure 37, those greedy few that spent all that money to get it passed and stand to make millions from it. Or you can resolve to look at what the voters intended and to be fair. You can leave the farm and forest land intact, or you can make policy that leaves nothing for future generations. But please, just remember why you are here. Thank you.
Thank you. And let's see. The people we're going through now are traveled over 100 miles, so I want to thank all of those that have come over 100 miles to give us testimony tonight. The next group is Tim Lillibow, I believe, and then Rand Dawson and Catherine Dawson. Tim, why don't you go ahead and get started? Yeah.
This is testimony for Karen and Tim Lillibo in favor of Senate Bill 505. We think that many of the voters were confused, and some may have even been tricked by the original measure. So we're asking that you please amend Measure 37 to better reflect the original intention of Oregon voters. We built our home on the middle fork of the John Day River in 1996, and we carefully and painstakingly followed all of the land use rules that were in place to obtain all of the permits for our dwelling. And believe me, there were a heck of a lot of permits that we had to get. I mean, it was a long process. Anyway, these rules succeeded in keeping the rural and remote character of the area and keeping the pace of change slow. Our value in our property there is based on those land use rules which allow for limited dwellings and preserve open space. Currently, there's only 12 homes in a 30-mile stretch. However, allowing a destination resort, 100-home subdivision, and other developments, breaking this property up on a ranch that's across the river from us, would dramatically reduce our property value and destroy the remote and rural character of the area. This type of extensive commercial development under Measure 37 is unequal and unfair application of land use rules. Measure 37 was passed so that longtime property owners could build a home on their land. This property has a home, and that home can be expanded under current rules, and they may even be able to build another one. However, they want Destination Resort 100 home subdivision. Allowing these exceptions to current land use rules provides an unfair advantage to one property owner while greatly harming all the others. This area, it's a place of our dreams, and it's a place with plenty of public land. It's all surrounded by public land. It's where the salmon come up the river to spawn in the shallow gravels. It's where the elk bugle down in the meadows. It's where the cougars are playing with their kittens out in the forest. The bald eagles are nesting in the cottonwoods in this area. And the coyotes are howling on a summer night. It's a pretty darn nice remote place. Anyway, we... And you, as legislators, are really the only voices for these important wildlife that are out there. So I really hope that you'll take that into account as well as just the people. The wildlife is important as well.
Tim, we need you to wrap up, please.
All right. A destination resort would reduce my property value, and it could ruin our dream home. It could significantly change this remote area that all Oregonians can currently enjoy right now because of that public land access. We want to sincerely thank each of you for having us here, and especially the senators and representatives that support Senate Bill 505 and Governor Kulongoski for coming out. So your foresight could help protect our precious Oregon heritage. Thank you.
Catherine.
I'm Catherine Dawson. I live in Western Lane County near Dune City, and I'm submitting testimony for two residents of Dune City who are unable to attend because of health reasons. Ralph Farnsworth is the first one. He's a volunteer water tester for Dune City, where most of the residents, or many of the residents, get their water, their drinking water, from Wohink and Silt Coos Lake. He says, I have to admit I voted for Measure 37, but if given the chance, I would surely unvote for it. In my opinion, this is less about family farms and more about large landholders' privilege. I feel the voters in Oregon were sold a bill of goods when we voted for this twisted piece of legislation. It really needs to be revised for the benefit of all. Thank you. And then Susie Navetta. Susie is council member for Dune City. She says, if I had the opportunity to vote again on this issue, I would vote against Measure 37. I've served on the Dune City Planning Commission for 2 years, the council for 4 years, and have recently been reelected for another 4-year term. I understand the land planning process, and Measure 37 damages it in major ways. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Rand Dawson. I live in Silt Coos Lake. That's West Lane County. My wife and I own small rural forest lands there in West Lane County. We have a forest deferment. I'm the most grain member of a family that walked here in the 1850s. I speak in support of protecting Oregon and in support of Senate Bill 505. My wife and I bought our pre-existing forest dwelling in the 80s with reliance and in consideration upon the logical land planning rules that had gone into effect at that time. We spent 6 years, in fact, doing so. In fact, yesterday I went and I pulled the file, and I still found it. Here's the zoning ordinances, October 1980 from Lane County. Here's the statewide planning goals, Oregon Land Conservation and Development Commission at that time. Here are my 1981 Eugene Register Guard newspaper articles, proposal to protect farm and forest lands to be studied. What I find is that Measure 37 effectively time warps not only our personal efforts, but the efforts of this entire state for 20 years. Time warps them basically into rubbish. I think it's disappointing to see that Measure 37 literally at this point is paying large landowners to ignore 20 years of community values, 20 years of planning, and to ignore the cumulative watershed risks that we face because of this type of development. I think this issue is beyond mom and pop fairness questions, with all due respect. In West Lane County, where we are, we have Davidson Industry, and I'm not picking on them, but they are our neighbors, and they've made over 15 various filings, notices, claims, or withdrawals, depending upon what's most politically expedient at the time. This is one example. They filed a subdivision notice for neighboring Dune City across the lake from us, which originally referenced almost 100 half-acre lots. Now, Dune City has a one-acre minimum lot size. It's a city with no tax base, no services, no water, no sewer. These 100 lots would have been on a lake, and they would have had on-site septic and on-site water in sandy soil. This was to be a lakeside subdivision that would have impacted Wohink Lake, where hundreds of people from that community draw water, their domestic water supply, pursuant to Water Resource Department approved withdrawals.
Rand, I need you to wrap up, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Basically, this is a Measure 37 subdivision monster that, if it isn't fixed, it's going to end up devouring the Oregon watersheds, Oregon watershed by watershed. This is my uncle's Senate rules book. It hasn't been back to Salem for over 100 years. He served two terms for Linn County. And I know if he were here, he would ask you nothing more than please do what's right for all of Oregon. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to pick up another person that's here from last Thursday, Ralph Johnson. And then I'm going to need some help on this one. It looks like Mike Wetnap. Can't read the writing, sorry. And Colleen Schluch. Mr. Johnson? You can go ahead and get started.
Okay. I'm a dull as you. You can see my
hand. Go ahead.
Why do we need Measure 37?
All right. Why don't we do this? I'm going to ask you to pull the mic just a little bit closer.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Great. That works wonderful.
Why we need Measure 37? Notice on the tax statements you have on 10.5 acres you currently own. With a little arithmetic, you will see the value increased $120,000 to $356,000 last year. That's quite a jump in 1 year, and that's caused by zoning that was created, false scarcity. Now notice the farm value, which is based on the soil type, at $559. Is this the highest and best use of the property? The soil is extremely rocky, with a canyon running lengthwise through the property and a winter creek. The redeeming factor is a view of the valley. And this property currently can be built on. And we have nearly 50 other acres that are currently zoned 40 that we have filed a claim on. With a home of comparable value to the land, the tax would be many hundred times more valuable than existing tax, helping to relieve the incessant complaints of our government never having enough money. What we have done with our restrictive zoning is that an ordinary family has effectively zoned to live in the city, and only the wealthy have the choice to live where he desires, as an example of the price of the property. Who's protecting the little guy? Where is the fairness in this system that the governor embraces? So if Measure 37 is watered down or removed, it would be another slap in the face to the middle class, especially those who would like to place in the country to raise their children, with a little space between them and their neighbors, as opposed to a 50 by 75 lot in town. Please, before you make a decision on this important issue, check my statistics and remember the families that don't have theirs yet.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Colleen Fluch. The American ideology and our Constitution is based on the rights of the individual, whereas the socialistic or communistic ideology is based on the rights of the group. Wherever you take something that is belongs to an individual as the right to develop their property as they see fit and give it to all Oregonians, be it for wide open spaces or rural feel or to keep the neighboring farmers' taxes low or whatever, that's a form of socialism or communism, and it is not the American way. It's the same as coming into my house and taking my TV and taking it on down to the community center so that all might watch. It not only is it wrong, it doesn't work. When it is easy to take something and there is no need to compensate the owner, then there are no limits and to what will be taken. Soon there are no private property rights, as there almost are none now. You 11 people have the opportunity to do something that is akin to what our founding fathers did. You can help to restore our individual rights to private property that were guaranteed by our Constitution by supporting Measure 37, or you can take us one step further towards communism and socialism by supporting Senate Bill 505 and the suspension of a law that was voted on and approved by a majority of all Oregonians, a law that attempts to offer just compensation to all Oregonians who are adversely affected by land use planning in the past or in the future. Just compensation is the answer. If all Oregonians are going to benefit by land planning, then all Oregonians should pay the affected landowners. Might I suggest an increase in income taxes that for all Oregonians to cover tax-free land or other fees that are that the affected landowners may have to the state. Senate Bill 505 is not the answer. If you must fix Measure 37, then address the real problems of most land of the affected landowners. That is, allow relative dwellings down to a density of one home site per 5 or 10 acres, and allow the elderly claimants to sell a couple of 1 or 2 acre home sites so that they have some retirement money, and do it now before they die land poor and in poverty as they have lived for the last 40 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike?
Thank you. Mike Weatherill. I'm from Douglas County. First of all, I have about 500 acres, give or take. We grow grapes, timber, and some livestock. And thank God for land use planning. Without it, we would all be out of business. Contrary to one of the gentlemen spoke earlier, houses next to our vineyards and stuff do cause us problems. It interferes with our ability to farm. Same thing with our timberland. We can't fly helicopters over to spray things like this because of the problems, obviously, that are involved. 37 was an extremely poorly written bill, or poorly written, and I really feel sorry for you folks that you're going to have to make this decision on this because this is a real can of worms they've opened up. So, good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Our next panelist is Larry Elliott, and let's go with Joyce Elliott.
With the Elliott dais.
And whichever Elliott wants to go first.
Me first? Okay. I'm Ethel Elliott. I am a 77-year-old widow on a fixed income that is well below the poverty level. I am in favor of Measure 37 and against Bill 505. When Measure 37 was voted in, I saw an opportunity to afford a new home, provide needed housing in the Upper Hood River Valley, provide employment and supplemental income. And supplement my income. I have about 8 acres that is zoned farm, high-value farm. It is in the frost pocket and has and the area has a short growing season. A usable portion of the property is 5 acres of hay fields that doesn't produce very well. The acreage is too small to provide substantial income if I were able. Several of my neighbors are trying to do the same thing, and we are concerned that what the people voted in will be taken away from us by our elected officials. Please consider our situation when deciding this vital issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Larry Elliott, and I am presenting testimony on the behalf of Ronald and Dolores Gilbert from Parkdale, Oregon. We are in favor of Measure 37 and opposed to Senate Bill 505. We are requesting a decision be made on Measure 37 and land use rights restored. We acquired our 9.59 acres in 1960. At that time, there were no land use regulations. Without transferability, our land use rights have not been restored. We have been producing pears in a frosty area. Even with the purchase of an $18,000 fan, we are unable to produce a satisfactory product. EFU regulations took away the right to farm or not to farm. Farming is a business, and to be forced to keep a small place in EFU eliminates the option of using the land for its best use. We have approved Measure 37 claims from the state of Oregon and Hood River County. We also have approval of a minor partition to divide into 3 parcels from the county. We have spent several thousand dollars to meet the requirements for these approvals. There is a need for housing in our area. Requiring the present owner to develop the land before selling creates an unnecessary hardship. Give the buyer the option of purchasing the land and building themselves would make a new home more affordable, and the law of supply and demand would regulate the amount of building. Thank you for the opportunity for us to testify today.
Thank you.
Hello, Chair, people in committee. I'm Joyce Elliott from Parkdale, Oregon, and I represent the silent citizens of Oregon. I'm not in favor of Senate Bill 505. Our most vulnerable citizens are being harmed. Most of Measure 37 claimants owned their property 30 to 60 years. When they bought, there was no land use law. These laws were put into effect by a few lawmakers that didn't understand the needs of the future of an Oregon rural family. My neighbors bought their properties 50 years ago to raise their families and have an investment for their retirement. When the land use laws were placed in effect, it prevented that goal. With Measure 37, there is a new hope for these older citizens. I personally own 4 separate properties in Hood River County, none of which are under Measure 37. Many neighbors have filed claims, none of which interfere with my rights as a property owner. There's a 20-acre parcel that is requested 4 5-acre parcels. The 20 acres has approximately 11 acres of apples and 9 acres of wet marsh ground. It is all zoned high-value farm use, and there is little profit in the apple industry. It is owned by a retired couple tired of farming with no help. There's 8 acres of high-value farm use is owned by a widow on a fixed income. She has been approved for 5 parcels with homes. She has spent over $80,000 to complete the requirements for the petition, installing roads, surveys, and utilities. This land is pie-shaped with wetland on one end, and so narrow you couldn't turn a tractor with the equipment on the other. Another recent widow has 20 acres of pears. She wants to divide the property into 4 5-acre parcels. She would like her adult sons close to help her. They need their own homes and need to know they can sell them separately as their situations change through their lives.
Mrs. Ellett, we need to wrap up, please.
Okay. The zoning on these properties 30 years ago was done from soil maps only. No consideration was given to the property sizes, the climate, how level the ground was, or the needs of the families. this area is no longer a lumber and family and farming community, and the property owners need your help. If you're going to change Measure 37 for clarity and efficiency, I suggest giving claimants with five or less homes in their project an expedited ticket or easier completion, and I favor the creation of a right to transfer waiver in return for some limitation on certain claims that seem extreme. I also favor the right to transfer partially completed projects when their plot has been recorded with the county and all the health and safety issues met.
Ms. Elliott, if you could wrap up, please.
Claims approved should be passed to heirs upon the claimant's death. Thank you for letting me read this into record.
You bet. Thank you very much. The next panel is Laura Hood, Pam Hardy, or maybe it's Paul. It looks like Pam to me.
Thank you.
And then Fritz Vaughn or Han Lutkin.
Isn't that your school?
Whoever would like to start first.
Sounds like me. My name is Laurel Hood, and I apologize. I was caring for an ill husband, didn't get an opportunity to make you copies of what I scribbled down, my thoughts here. I am a native Oregonian. I've served in public service in Cannon Beach for over 18 years, on chaired planning commission, served as a city councilor, as mayor. I've served on our county fair boards, and I have a sincere appreciation for the mountains of paperwork that you're reading in the hours of testimony that you're listening to. The original concept behind Measure 37 was fairness. It has instead created a special class of property owners with an unanticipated and unfair result that impacts all Oregonians. As with any legislation, along the way, some individuals may be harmed, but it is your obligation to decide this issue based on the common good of the citizens of Oregon. Over three decades of guided growth in Cannon Beach has resulted in a modicum of livability in a community that would have long ago been overrun. We chose guided growth as an alternative to placing a moratorium on development that would have resulted in a lack of water, housing, and public works resources. I have sat through hours of testimony, geologic reports, etc., addressing my community's concerns about density, water needs, only to see much of it thrown out the window with potential Measure 37 claims. Owners of low-density residential land at the coast or farmland owners in the Willamette Valley have a reasonable expectation that the community that they have invested in would not be suddenly transformed by inconsistent and prolific development. The land values in Cannon Beach actually went up because of and as a result of Oregon's land use laws. And I would say that Cannon Beach is probably a microcosm or example of what would happen statewide.
I need you to wrap up, please.
Okay. I support Senate Bill 505. If not passed, it will cause financial damage to the agricultural interests such as the wine industry and its future by handing over valuable resource land to developers. Social and economic damage to coastal communities that will have to build and maintain infrastructure, schools, etc. to service the resulting development. It will cause an immediate disaster in terms of water supply as well as other resource needs. Senate Bill 505 isn't perfect, but if not passed, there will be no Oregon to defend. Thank you.
Thank you. Sam?
Thank you very much for letting everybody speak today. I really appreciate your willingness to sit through so many hours of testimony. First of all, I would like to thank you for the 100-mile rule. I spoke with many Eastern Oregonians in preparation for today's testimony who said that they would like very much to be able to speak but would not be able to travel all the way over here. For many people who live on the very far eastern side of the state, it's a two-day commitment to get here, one day to travel here, a night to spend, and then an entire day to travel back. And as I'm sure you've heard, it's the beginning of calving season, and most of those people can't do that right now. If I have time, I hope to speak today in two capacities. First, as an attorney for neighbors of Measure 37 claims and for Central Oregon Land Watch. Central Oregon Land Watch is a brand new nonprofit organization with approximately 300 members who are interested in good land use planning. Second of all, I'd like to speak as somebody who's individually impacted by a Measure 37 claim on Steens Mountain. First of all, as an attorney for Central Oregon Land Watch and neighbors of Measure 37 claimants, I would like to register support for Senate Bill 505. In particular, I would like to say that we really appreciate the fast track for small claims and for bona fide family issues, and at the same time, the slowing down of the massive commercial developments. In Central Oregon, one of the things that we see a lot of claims asking for is subdivision of very, very large ranch lands into small 1, 2, and sometimes 5-acre lots, sometimes even smaller than that. The large commercial developments, we don't believe, were a part of the voters' intent. None of the claims that I am pursuing right now are in regards to small family member issues. In fact, in many of the cases that I am pursuing right now, we are concerned about very large issues, very large farms and very large ranches that have requested a waiver for 1-acre lot developments of, say, 300 acres. And many of the neighbors who have spoken with me about their concerns about these things have said, if only they would ask for, they get up in front of the Board of County Commissioners and they say, all we really want to do is have a house on there for our kids so that they can help run the ranch. And the neighbors say, if that was all they asked for, we wouldn't complain about this. This is fine. We are not concerned about the ranches that want a single family home or two or three or four so that the adult children of those ranch families can continue to help their parents work the ranch. That is not the problem. And that is what we think that the voters of Measure 37 really intended.
Sam, I need you to start summarizing quickly, please.
Thank you. We need the time to sort out the very fine legal issues. Some of the things that I'm writing briefs on right now include questions such as, what exactly is a reduction in value? What exactly is an ownership interest or any interest therein? Is subdivision on a commercial scale a use of the land? And when does ownership change? When the land is transferred to a closely held LLC, a revocable or an irrevocable trust? I know you've all been briefed very carefully on all of these subtle legal issues, and I won't go into them in detail, except to say that I doubt the voters understood the nuanced legal implications involved in each one of these very small pieces. The voters of Eastern Oregon, at least, wanted the ranch and the farm families to be able to put an extra house or two on the land so that their families could come and live with them and continue in the ranching or farm lifestyle. They did not intend to pockmark the open sagebrush spaces that we cherish in Eastern Oregon for commercial subdivisions.
Thank you. Fritz?
Fritz von Lutkin. I'm a fruit grower in the Hood River Valley. My family has farmed in the valley since 1913, and my son is hoping to be the fourth generation to continue in the business. We currently farm about 150 acres in both the lower and upper valley. We are very much in support of Measure 505 as being the best alternative to the situation that we are currently in. We see Measure 37 as not being very good legislature when it creates more problems than it has solved. The high value or EFU and high value designation is what has kept us in the farming business. We have 60 acres in the lower valley that, had it not been for this designation, we would not be in business today. In fact, part of the catalyst for high value farmland, we were part of that because of our situation. That we are still able to farm that today. We ended up having to sign a contract with a neighbor in order to do it, but high-value farmland gave us time to do that. Approximately one quarter of the planted acreage in the Hood River Valley has now have a Measure 37 claim on it. When you have this many claims, you have problems not only for preservation of farmland, but you are also causing a problem for the neighbor that is farming. That land is affected also. The worst part of it is probably most of these claims are in some of the very best land that we have in the valley. Many of these people are claiming that they're going broke, but that is more for the sympathy part to get the way what they need for subdivisions, etc., on these lands. our returns have probably been as good as I have seen in 40 years of farming the last 3 years as the overall gross income. I would really like to see you take a long, hard look at what Measure 37 has done and realize that there are a lot of different options that you have, but I think the farming community really needs to be protected in some way.
Thank you very much. Let's see. The last one I have on the list for 100 miles or greater is Sweet Medicine Nation. We also are going to get Mark Van Aske, student that was here last Thursday. If Mark is here.
He's in another room.
Okay, and then if there's anyone else that has traveled over 100 miles that did not get signed up tonight, if they want to come forward, we'll try to get them in before we start any others. Mark, come on up, please. I'm going to go ahead and call Richard Van Pelt. If he's here, he'll be our third in this panel.
Thank you. My name is Wu-Tan-Lawil, and all of you know me tonight as Sweet Medicine Horse Nation. I am here as a seventh generation of an indigenous council of my people, the Choctaw Nation. And I'm here living in Oregon since I was 19. I looked for land in Central Oregon where I could find peace, where I could teach the indigenous values to my family and to my friends, to steward land like my great-great-great-grandmother and grandfathers, and to find a place that was on the edge of BLM, which I did. It took me 2 years. So I purchased this land with my savings and moved there, not really understanding what it might mean in the future, but knowing that I was in farm use land, knowing a lot of my neighbors already and their values, because it is a pretty close community out there. I'm on the edge of Deschutes County, and the Deschutes River and Jefferson County are right in alignment there. We're neighbors. And so I watch both sides. For me, this land is not only a sacred site, but it's also the foundation. The stones, the trees, and the animals in this wildlife corridor are very important to me. And I looked into all that and created a conservancy with the state to learn how I could continue to protect this wildlife corridor. The quietness, there's anywhere from 70 to 80 deer that are on the land during the day, two herds of elk that come through, spend their winters there with me. I'd like to keep it that way, so I have a very small footprint. I didn't know that my neighbors next to me would file a Measure 37 who have sold all their trees, sold up all their rocks, and there's nothing there but their home, and now they're wanting to divide 20 acres into 4 or 5 acre parcels. That was one impact, but not the one that really concerned me as much, because I know that they're wanting to have their son move on their property. But across the canyon from us is a proposed 22 homes that could be turned into potentially 250 homes.
I need you to start wrapping up, please.
So my concern is, as I was taught, to be a giver back to the land. And your position is that you are counsel for the land and all the nations that were first there, besides the two-legged people that come. How would it be that the decisions that you make would be to give back rather than to be taking from the value of all, the elders that we care for, and ourselves? Thank you.
Thank you. Mark?
Hello, my name is Mark Finash, and I support the temporary suspension of Measure 37. I am a student at Oregon State University, majoring in agriculture business management, and my goal is to return to the family grass seed farm in Washington County after graduation in 2009. Our family farm was established in 1896, and I'll be the fifth generation to farm this land. My family owns and leases 150 acres and has been in the same family name ownership since 1950 and is eligible for the maximum Measure 37 claims. My family did not file any claims on this land because we are farmers, not developers. I believe the value of our land lays in its production of crop capabilities, not in its development potential. The land my family farms has some of the best crop production capabilities on earth. Washington County is the third most productive agriculture county in Oregon, producing $250+ million per year. We respect our neighbors' property rights. Many of them wanted only one or two additional dwellings on their farms, but when they went to file their claim, they're advised by their local government to file for the maximum amount of claims possible. Measure 37 claim developments will create complaints about farm dust, noise, chemical use, lights, night and early morning work, and equipment on the road, traffic and the movement of our farm equipment by our employees as well as family members is already our most dangerous farm operation. We also deal with theft, garbage, ATVs, four-wheel drives, and non-farm citizens trespassing and destroying our crops. Rural subdivisions will deplete our existing domestic and irrigation wells. We cannot continue to farm surrounded by Measure 37 claim subdivisions. In summary, my family's decision to farm in Washington County has been based on the last 35 years of Oregon land use laws. Please temporarily suspend Measure 37 so this governing body and the citizens of Oregon can make a rational decision on an issue that will affect all Oregonians for generations. Money is not the most important item in my family's life. As when my grandmother did not file a claim of 150 acres. In all honesty, I love where I live. It's a beautiful area, and I want to live there for the rest of my life, but not across the street from a suburb. It is disappointing to think that what I want to do for the rest of my life might not be a possibility. This is a roadblock with no other possible way around. Plain and simple, it's quite obvious that farming and houses do not mix, just like water and oil. Why would we let something like this happen when we already know the consequence? Please, let's not try to destroy our existing natural renewable resource. Thanks.
Thank you. Our last panel for this evening is going to be Richard Van Pelt, Kathleen Carl, and Lolita Carl, I believe. Since Richard has not come up on two calls, we'll go ahead and take one more person, and that will be David Adelshine. And whoever would like to start.
I will. Lolita Carl, full-time farmer. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Five generations of our family have lived on our farm in over 90 years, since 1915. Measure 37, that can of worms, threatens to cause total chaos in our neighborhood and the landscape throughout our state. Those of us in the agriculture industry contribute billions to our state economy year after year. We have huge investments, and our livelihood is at stake. We already have to contend with unpredictable weather and unpredictable market conditions. On our farm, we already have significant loss to our fencing, irrigation infrastructure, and farm equipment due to vandalism and theft. The threat of fire from trespassing smokers in our forest land and fields during the dry summer months is huge. Oregon's land use laws were designed to protect our resource land and our sense of stability. Water resources are at risk from residential development. If land is appraised at development prices, there will be nothing that the younger, up-and-coming farmers can afford. Our sustainability will be lost. It will ruin the continuity and unity of our communities and trust between neighbors. Our sustainability will be lost. If subdivisions go in next to us, we are doomed. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen?
My name is Kathleen Carl. I'm part of the Manton Carl Farm in Hubbard, Oregon. My father, who's 90 years old, was born on the farm and still lives there. I did canvassing to get voters out in the last election, and I believe the misunderstanding of this bill was immense. Recently, I read an article in the Oregonian about the Bill Rose family, farm family, who thought this was to build an extra farm home, not subdivisions. Now they are desperate that this measure means covering the valley. This measure has morphed into a monster that threatens a social contract, that helped us to live and preserve our beautiful state for 35 years. That contract enabled farmers and foresters, as you've heard from people, to make investments that will preserve the land for the future. If the future is threatened, that investment will not be made, and young people will not have an opportunity to farm this land, or perhaps even to see this land. I believe that organizations like Plum Creek from Seattle, who I know are threatening in Maine too, are hiding behind grandfathers and grandmothers who want a place, one place, for someone to run their family business in the future. Please think carefully, not just about the next 10 years, but the next 20, 50, 75, or 100 years. I would like my son, Manton, or my grandnephew, Mikhail, to have a chance to farm, but how could either one of them do that if they know that a subdivision could threaten their water, their woods, and their livelihood? The rest of us should have rights, too. My father at 90 is too sick to be here, but he does support Senate Bill 505. He knows that preserving land is for the long haul. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Dave Adelsheim, Adelsheim Vineyard in Newburgh. When we founded our vineyard, when we started buying land in 1971, we had the opportunity to look at the range of protections that were provided by the state. I'm very clear about what Senate Bill 505 proposes, and I'm very much in favor of it because we are now facing an emergency. The young lady should have passed out a map that shows the Shehalem Mountains, American Vineyard viticultural area, which was just approved last December. And coming into it is a 477-acre subdivision proposed under Measure 37 for one-acre blocks. 60% of it is in fine vineyard land. The county has no ability to stop it. The state may or may not be able to stop it. Really, we need to put this on hold and take a look at whether subdivisions should be allowed outside of urban growth boundaries willy-nilly, regardless of the investments that business has made around them. Thanks very much. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for allowing me to testify tonight.
Thank you. And for all those who were not able to testify that have signed up, we will do as we've done in the past. We will keep the list. And if you're able to return this Thursday at 5 o'clock, we'll continue to take public testimony at that time. Is there anything else we go to the order? If not, thank you very much. We're closed and adjourned.